Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome to our Sunday morning Bible class. We're podcasting a Bible study every Sunday morning to be posted at that time, a time we would normally meet at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ for our Sunday morning Bible classes. But we know that people, even in the Omaha area, some people cannot be with us at that prescribed time because of physical problems of one kind or another. Maybe it's a health issue, or maybe it's a handicap. Maybe it's a schedule that does not allow them to be with us at that particular time. We know also that people listen in other parts of the country and around the world, literally, through the internet. And so obviously they don't live in the Omaha area, and so they cannot be with us in person. So we're thankful to be able to teach God's Word on such a widespread basis, literally wherever the internet is available, all around the world, by means of these podcasts. We're thankful. The internet, what a great blessing it is for us to be able to use in this productive way, in this way of bringing glory to God and helping people learn more deeply about God and His will for their lives as we study the Scriptures, His Scriptures, together. Each time we come together for these podcast Bible studies. Now, the internet, the way it's used by some people, can be a curse, but as we utilize it properly and effectively to God's glory to carry forth and teach His will, that's a great blessing, and we're thankful to be able to use it in that way. Now, we encourage you, if you're in the Omaha area, come and check us out in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our Bible classes begin at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evenings, we come back together at 6 o'clock for another period of worship and Bible study. And then on Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, good time to get recharged spiritually, we come together each Wednesday evening at 6:30 for midweek Bible classes. Our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. Also, we encourage you to share these studies with everybody you can through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. But also, if you haven't taken advantage of this yet yourself, please do so and encourage everybody you know to do so. Go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. Now, when you do that, or when anybody does that, that's free, by the way, always will be free. It's not a special offer. It's always going to be free. Then you will receive to your smart device, whether that's your phone or computer or whatever smart device you choose, a whole lot of Bible teaching on an ongoing basis. On a daily basis, you'll receive Bible teaching lessons. And again, it will always be free and always available. Now, people can also go to our YouTube page at Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Sunny Slope Church of Christ. So, through all of these avenues, you can study God's Word on an ongoing basis with us. We're going to get back into our study from the book of Esther. And again, what we're really emphasizing in studying this particular book is if you want to understand divine providence, God's providence, how God can work in our lives behind the scenes, and often without us ever realizing that He's doing so, setting things in place to work out situations that will come up along the way, and He will already have prepared us for that, or at least moved us in that direction by setting those things in place, and maybe over a period of years. I've seen that in my life. If you stop and think about it, you may be able to remember some things in your life that you did not know kind of the pieces of the puzzle were falling in place until all of a sudden you saw whatever it was that God was trying to move you forward toward. How many people have become Christians who did not even think about being Christians for many years in their lives? But as different situations developed, ultimately they led to the point where they learned about Christ, where they learned about the gospel, and they became Christians. They were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. God's providence. Well, the book of Esther demonstrates God's providence in a vivid way. The right two people in the right place at the right time. So We've gone all the way through the first seven chapters. We only have a few chapters left. But we have set the stage by noting how Queen Esther, she was a young Jewish woman who was raised by her cousin Mordecai after her parents died. Mordecai was Jewish. He taught her. He raised her. Ultimately, through a process that we would look at and say, well, that was unrighteous on the king's part, King Ahasuerus, but God used that whole situation to put Esther, and I believe we can understand this, again, through God's providence, to put her in the right place at the right time to serve the right purpose. And that was to save her people, her fellow Israelites, or her fellow Jews, from absolute annihilation. So she becomes queen. There is a descendant, an Agagite, also within the kingdom of the Medo-Persians, Ahasuerus being the king of that empire. And he, or his forefathers, had been enemies of the Jewish forefathers. And so he sees an opportunity to wipe out the Jewish population within the empire of the Medo-Persians because the king had put him into a position of being second in authority and power over all the empire. And so he hoodwinks the king, he deceives him into believing that there is a group of people, and Haman's focusing on the Jewish people within the empire, that are a danger to the king and to the empire as a whole. And so he writes a decree, a plan, and he gets the king to sign it and send out letters to seal it with his signet ring and to send out letters throughout the kingdom, throughout the empire. And on a certain day, Haman has targeted that whoever would become his followers, they would have the opportunity to kill every Jew they could find within the empire. And in that way, he would be satisfied that basically the Jewish population within the empire would be wiped out. Well, as that decree went out, of course, the Jewish people in the empire, they went into mourning. Mordecai becomes very concerned, and he brings his concern to Esther. She's very concerned, and ultimately she sets up a process where, because the king loves her so much, she comes to him and he says, whatever you want, let me know. Up to half the kingdom, it'll be given to you. And so she plans a couple of banquets that will be only for the king and Haman, this enemy of the Jews. And Haman is taken completely unaware, and during the second banquet, as the king asks her for the third time, now tell me what you want. What is your desire? It'll be given to you, up to half the kingdom. And so she says, basically, this man is my enemy. He wants to kill me and all of my people within the empire. And the king is so upset. He walks out of the room. Looks like maybe he's just trying to control himself, gain some perspective. Haman is caught completely by surprise. He does not know that the queen is actually a Jew herself. He begs her, please, please, you know, basically saying, save me, you know, and by the time the king comes back in, he sees Haman lying across the couch where the queen is sitting. And, you know, did he just, his legs buckle under him for fear? Did he faint? Whatever it was. But now the king looks and says, are you so disrespecting my queen that you are, you know, laying across the couch where she is sitting? And so the king has Haman actually hanged on a gallows that he had constructed for the hanging of Esther's cousin Mordecai. So Haman's out of the picture. But now we pick up in chapter 8, the next interesting chapter of the whole story. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman. Now, Haman had been not only second in command and authority in power among the Medo-Persian Empire, but he also was a very wealthy man. And so now King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king is listening to Mordecai. And I think probably pretty obviously, because the king so loves Esther, is so taken with Esther that he respects Mordecai, her cousin, who raised Esther from childhood after her parents died. Verse 2, and this is interesting. You talk about a turn of events, and I've emphasized through this study, hatred will eat you up. And hatred, we could say hatred can, but maybe we should change that to hatred almost certainly will cause you more damage than whatever damage your hatred will bring upon whoever it is you're hating. Haman hated Mordecai. He hated the Jews. Haman ended up being hanged on the gallows that he had had prepared to hang Mordecai on. Now, verse 2 of chapter 8, so the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman. Haman had that signet ring. It was a mark of authority from the king. Whatever decree or whatever document Haman would have written, if he would seal it in wax with that signet ring from the king, that would mean the king's authority was behind it. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now, do you see how Mordecai now, the man Haman hated, was rising up and taking Haman's place, at least in degrees? He now has the signet ring, the authority from the king that Haman had had. Haman's dead. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite, the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? And so you would think, well, this would be a natural request and petition from Queen Esther to King Ahasuerus. Could you please just send out another decree to revoke that decree that Haman had tricked you into, had deceived you into sending out throughout your kingdom? Verse 7, though. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew. Now this is, something comes out here that seems mighty strange to us by the way of our cultural thinking today. Let's read. King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. And so now King Ahasuerus realized the deception that Mordecai had put upon him, how he had deceived him. And he's trying to make it right. In verse 8, he goes on and says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews, as you please, whatever you think is right, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Oh. So in answer to the Queen Esther's petition to send out another decree, revoke the decree that you let Haman send out that was sealed with your signet ring. Write another decree revoking that. The king responds, you and your cousin, Mordecai, you write another decree, however you think it needs to be worded, whatever you think it needs to include, and sign it with my signet ring, which now was in the possession of Mordecai. And then the king says, let me boil it down. What has already been written and sealed with the king's signet ring cannot be revoked. Now, I wonder what the emotional reaction was to that statement from the king on the part of Esther and Mordecai. Stunning? Shocking? The king was telling them, and this would have been law under the Medo-Persian Empire, whatever has been decreed and sealed with the king's signet ring cannot be revoked. So that decree that Haman sent out throughout the empire, King Ahasuerus says, I can't stop it. I can't revoke it. But I can grant you the authority to write another decree to prepare your people to offset that decree. Now, there are going to be bloody battles as a result. We would look at that today from the way we would think in our culture and say, what? Of course you can revoke that decree. You basically sealed that law. Well, seal another law that revokes the original law. But that was not the way. That was not the law. That was not the culture within the Medo-Persian Empire of that day. Seems strange to us. But you read through history, you would find a whole lot of really strange sounding laws and customs and cultures compared to what we're used to today. So the king says, I can't stop it, but I can give you authority to counteract it by whatever means you deem appropriate. Now, Esther and Mordecai, they will write another decree, and that will allow the Jewish people within the empire to defend themselves vigorously against any enemies that come against them as a result of Haman's decree. Now, all of this, remember, is going to transpire, and Haman's not going to have any knowledge of it, because he's already dead. Already dead. So, verse 9. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai had commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia. In other words, all of the government officials, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script. It would, in other words, just as Haman had sent out his decree, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses, bred from swift steeds. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. In other words, the tables would be completely turned on the allies of Haman. on one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. A copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready, they would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, of blue and white. Now he's wearing royal apparel. His station in life has just climbed dramatically, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews. Now that's interesting. Interesting. Many people who were not Jewish were converted to Judaism because fear of the Jews fell upon them. And so, to some degree, you would understand that, I think, as being a strategic kind of move on their parts so that they would not be mistaken as enemies of the Jewish people because they would have converted to Judaism themselves. Well, we'll pick up with chapter 9 and next time, and that would be one of the longest, if not the longest, chapters in the entire book of Esther, and we'll see what transpires as a result of this new decree that would kind of counteract the effects of Haman's decree. And remember, Haman is completely out of the picture. He will not witness any of it. For now, he, kind of by his own devising, he's dead, hanged on his own gallows. Let's pray. Father, help us to see the danger, the dishonor of harboring hatred in our hearts. Help us to try as much as we can in this physical life to see and appreciate and then to exemplify your love for us and for humanity. And please help people who need to come to you or come back to you to do so, Father. And help us to be examples of people who have done exactly that, to influence them along the same way. Please, Father, forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.